Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 683. The topic is training and the title is Using Squat Variations for Strength and Aesthetics. Oftentimes whenever I talk with people that are new for me, new clients, but they've been lifting for a while, one of the things that comes up in their programming is they tend to have been stuck using kind of the same variations of exercises that just are no longer yielding the results that they want. And too often what has happened is without any kind of coaching or without feedback, their body has learned to cheat the movements in the sense that it allows their body to use the strongest muscles available and not necessarily the best pathway, which incorporates most of the muscles that they would want to be targeting. So an example of this would be in with powerlifters, so strength athletes, they tend to be over-reliant on their competition-style lifts. And we're going to talk today specifically about squatting. So they get too reliant on their competition-style squat, and they don't do enough other variations that would benefit them in regards to helping to develop weaknesses. So they'll do, for example, say a low-bar wide-stance squat. And that's how they would do it in competition. So therefore, that's pretty much all they ever do. When they do throw in different variations, it's typically the exact same one or two all the time. So they might do safety squat bar. They might add in like a Zercher squat or some kind of box squat. But they tend to only rotate through maybe one, two, three at most other variations. But it's always secondarily used compared to their competition style squats. Now we're going to go through this and why it is important, absolutely important, to do competition style squats often because you do need technique. But we're going to go through today and talk about how to incorporate technique while still getting in enough other variations. The benefit of other variations of squats, getting in more variations, is it allows you to better target certain weaknesses. So too often, like we said, when people stick with the same movement, their strongest muscles take over, their weakest muscles get kind of protected in the movement, and therefore they never get maximally developed. So this would be something where if somebody was weak in their hamstrings, say for example they wanted to build their deadlift. If they were able to explode the deadlift off the floor, let's say a conventional deadlift, so they could explode the deadlift off the floor, as the bar passed their knees, their hips kind of stayed back, their legs would shake, and they'd almost have to like slide the bar up their thighs because they have weak glutes and weak upper hamstrings. The more they just deadlift, whether it's deficit deadlifts, elevated deadlifts, or regular deadlifts, they're never really going to isolate out those weak hamstrings away from the quadriceps, away from the lower back. So they're not going to be able to develop those weaker areas, so their deadlift is always going to have that kind of technical flaw. If we look at squats, if they stay too long in their competition style squat, and for most people they're going to be quad and low back dominant in their squat style, they're going to have weak glutes and hamstrings. It's just related to how we use our body in everyday life, combined with what people tend to favor is they'll naturally typically have stronger low backs and quads, so therefore they're going to favor using those instinctually, and then any variation of squat they do, they tend to just continue to favor those muscles without emphasizing and isolating away the ones that they really need. So what you'll see often in squats is the bar path will drift forward as they lower down in their squat. So when they start to squat, the bar will be pretty much over the midline of the foot. If you were to look at the person from the side, you look at where the bar is compared to where their center of gravity or their balance is. So when I look at clients' videos online and I analyze their videos for technique, that's one of the viewpoints we use all the time, and this is actually one of the first things that I would look for in their squat mechanics is as they go up and down, does the bar stay in a vertical path? Or as they go down, does the bar drift forward to where the bar is now over top of their toes? And in kind of the worst case scenarios, it actually goes out in front of their toes. So then when they try to drive up out of the bottom, they have to use a lot of quads, a lot of lower back to push the bar up, but also pull the bar back over midline of the foot. So it's really only like a 2-inch, maybe 3-inch variation, a deviation, I mean, that we would see, but that can mean everything under really heavy weights. So what we can do to address that is to mix in more variations. That would be the benefit, is certain variations, something that people typically wouldn't think to do in powerlifting, but that's very helpful, would be a heavy Bulgarian split squat or a heavy reverse lunge, heavy single leg work. That forces the hip to have to work more. That forces more glute and hamstring involvement, and therefore they're actually going to get better development in their glutes and hamstrings out of that heavy compound movement compared to their competition style squat. So the more often they keep repeating the competition style squat, the more often they repeat the already discrepancies they have between their strengths and their weaknesses, and things never really ever equal out. Now for aesthetics, they typically what ends up happening is athletes will get stuck using the high bar position too often if they do squat, or they become too reliant on replacement exercises such as leg press, hack squat, and other heavy variations of compound movements, but that aren't technically barbell style squats. So real quickly, let's go through, talk a little bit about how strength athletes can best use variations, including their competition style, to make sure they learn the technique. And then we'll also talk about aesthetic athletes, how they can best incorporate squat variations without risking big injury, but ensuring that they get strength production, strength development over time to allow them to actually become bigger over time. So in my notes, I actually have strength first, but I'm actually going to jump to aesthetics first. So in aesthetics, technique for a squat isn't as important, meaning that if I'm doing powerlifting, I want to learn my technique of my competition style squat to the like nth degree, because as I improve my technique, the weight load on the bar will improve, and that's exactly what that sport is measured by. Whereas in aesthetics, everything you're doing in the gym is just to create muscle damage so you can go home, eat, and sleep and grow. So for aesthetics, the technique that you need is enough that you're not going to get injured, but you don't really need technique refinement past that. Your more important focus is more so mind-muscle connection rather than technique development. So you want to have enough technique that you feel confident in the movement and you feel safe. You want enough technique in the movement to be able to feel the right muscles in the right pathway, so you know you're focusing on the right areas, the intended areas for that exercise. However, once you have that, you're fine. You don't really need more than that. You don't need to stay with the same variation of a squat longer than what that would require. Now, squat replacements are great, such as leg press, hack squat, and things like that, and people will use those in addition to squat variations, but they shouldn't use those as replacements for squats entirely. I'll typically hear when I talk to clients who have like a decent background in lifting, but they're challenged in this idea, so they don't squat often, and I tell them they should. One of the things they often say is, well, so-and-so doesn't barbell squat, and they'll name some professional bodybuilder. But that so-and-so could do 405 for 10 reps anytime they wanted to, so they have enough underlying baseline strength that then when they go do hack squat, when they do leg press, they can do it with great mind muscle control, no momentum. They can do it very cleanly, but yet they can load the whole damn machine pretty much and still do it really well. Where when people who skip squats in aesthetic sports and they just want to load the leg press heavily, they're usually just dropping it to the bottom, like banging it off of the supports, and then throwing it back up to the top with an explosive style effort that doesn't look explosive because they can't move it fast, but it's explosive in the sense that they're no longer feeling which muscles are actually in control. They're just trying to get the weight down and up for 10 reps, not paying attention to what muscles are doing the work and whether or not those 10 reps are actually any good quality. So you must build your underlying strength through squats. So that way when you do use other exercises, other large compound movements, such as leg press and hack squat, that you can actually still maintain a mind-muscle connection during those movements rather than just lifting heavy things and pushing them around. So an example of what we can do to use squat variations in like kind of a cycle in a program that would work well for aesthetic athletes would be to think of 4-week rotations. So I might pick a style of a squat. So let's go with high bar because that's what most people are going to be comfortable with. So let's start with the first variation that you know, and let's practice what I'm about to say. So for the first month, what you can do is aim for 5 sets of 8 reps. This is going to be 8 reps where you know you could probably do a 9th, maybe a 10th, not an 11th. So you have 1 or 2 reps in reserve, so RIR. So you're doing 5 sets of 8 reps, knowing you could do 9 if you really wanted. 10 would be kind of shaky and probably break down on form. There's no way you're getting 11th. So this means that we're going to be stopping at 8, knowing that we could probably do 1 or 2 more. But that allows us to have a heavy stimulus. It's going to still feel really freaking hard because you're 1 or 2 reps short of actual failure. So it's still very difficult. But that gives you the first week to refine your technique, get under the bar, see the movement pattern you should be in, what muscle should fire, at what part of the range of motion. So really, week one is I'm going to practice this movement and make sure that I know what it should feel like. Then in week two, you want to add weight to what you used in week one. You want to perform 5 sets now, again, still 5 sets, but now you're going to do 7 to 8 reps where they're the best you could do. So the first week was 5 sets of 8, knowing you could do 1 or 2 more. Week two is you want to add weight, go for 5 sets of 7 to 8 reps. So you're aiming for 8, but if at, you know, reps 6 or 7, your form really breaks down, you think the 8th one would be questionable, or you can no longer actually feel in the muscles you want to work, you would then go ahead and stop the set early. So 7 to 8 reps, even 6 to 8 reps would be totally okay. But this week, you're actually challenging yourself and wanting to push yourself to best form breakdown, so good form failure. Then in week three, you would add even more weight. You would do 5 sets of 5 to 6 reps. So you know by doing heavier weight, you can't do as many reps, but that's okay. That's going to be a form of progressive overload towards strength development because you are now adding heavier weight load. So it's allowing you to get used to heavier weight in that movement. Then in week four, again, you're going to add weight. You're going to do 5 sets of only 3 to 4 reps. Yes, 3 to 4 reps is very heavy for aesthetics. However, it does have leeway to protect you from injury. So if you do reps 1 or 2 and it doesn't feel right, you would just rack it. So by having 3 to 4 reps, if you feel slightly off at all in the beginning, you can just rack it and be okay. Whereas if you're doing a 1 rep max, you come halfway down the movement and you know it's not right, there's no real way to bail on that, so you're more likely to get hurt. But these sets of 3 to 4 reps, they are going to allow you to build that strength base. So I've been lifting for 20 years, and for the first 10 years for sure, I was mainly focused on bodybuilding. And meaning I didn't really think about strength, I didn't think about the importance of building an underlying kind of strength foundation. I just wanted to get bigger muscles, and everything I read in the magazine was, you know, do heavy sets of 8 to 12 when I first started reading magazines. Then whenever I got access to the internet, I started watching videos of In the Iron Asylum on RX Muscle. And I saw sometimes the lifters would do, like every once in a while, sets of 5s. But these would be the people who could squat 405 for 10 reps. And I always wondered, well, if I already always did my best for 10, so maybe my best squat for 10 when at that age was, you know, 185 pounds. It never seemed to really progress much. I never seemed to be able to get heavier and heavier. I might move up every, you know, 3 or 4 months, be able to move up 10, maybe 15 pounds at most, but it took me forever to try to get any kind of strength development whenever I was always doing only sets of 8 to 12. Or even for legs back then, they would still tell you even to do up to 20 reps. But there was never really strength development because I was always lifting too light in regards to developing kind of neurological strength. I was lifting heavy enough for muscle damage, sure, but I wasn't lifting heavy enough to actually build strength. So this is the kind of stuff that, because That's the mistake I made with what information I had available to me. I now have learned what was missing and can now gift that into the athletes I work with. So now the athletes I work with who do purely aesthetics, we still do heavy sets somewhere between 3 and 5 reps all the time. And it's helped them build their base. Their physique has taken off compared to what they were doing before they ever tried doing this. So I've seen it, I don't even know, hundreds of times. So I've worked with over 2,000 clients in the past 20 years of being a personal trainer. Well, 18 years of being a personal trainer. And I've seen it happen every time. Whereas if you take an aesthetic athlete who never has focused on strength, you improve their strength foundation, all of a sudden their size goes through the roof compared to what they're used to in regards to progression. So I've seen it happen. I know it works. And that's why I'm trying to promote every listener here to go ahead and try this. So that would be a 4-week rotation that you'd want to do. So week one is 5 sets of 8 reps with 1 to 2 reps in reserve. Week two is you add weight, you do 5 sets of 7 to 8 reps. Week three is add weight, you do 5 sets of 5 to 6 reps. Week four is you add even more weight and you do 5 sets of 3 to 4 reps. Then what you can do at week five is you would actually switch the variation. And you would actually want to rotate through variations that have different focal points. So for example, there are squat variations that emphasize the quads. There are squat variations that emphasize the hamstrings. There are squat variations that emphasize glutes and hips. You would want to rotate through those. So if you just went through a 4-week phase that really emphasized your quads, it's good for safety measurement and for safety measures and for overall development to then switch away from a quad focused variation to maybe a hamstring focused variation. You do that for 4 weeks. Now your hamstrings are beat up, they have some stress on them. You maybe want to switch then back to a quad variation or up to a glute variation, but you want to move around the emphasis of the squats from program to program. So for example, in program one, you could do safety squat bar with your heels elevated, whether you're wearing Olympic shoes or just slide 5-pound plates under your heels. But that's going to be a very strong quad emphasis. So that's going to be great for developing quad size, quad sweep. It's also going to help with just kind of upper back posture because the safety squat bar does have kind of a forward rotation to it. So that's going to help your thoracic strength, which also improves posture, improves your back exercise capabilities and back growth. Then the next month, you could focus on camber bar flat feet. So camber bar squats without your heels being raised. That would be a great way to work your hamstrings. Then for the third set of 4 weeks, you could do Bulgarian split squats. And that's a great way to focus on the glutes, focus on hip strength. It does use your quads and hamstrings. However, it's more of a focus into the hip as the main strength mover of that movement. So those are 3 rotations you could go through. So right there is 12 weeks worth of training that you could do for your squats. Now after the squats, you would go ahead and do things like leg press, hack squat, leg extension, leg curls, walking lunges, all the other things that you would typically do as an aesthetic development. But by having these squat variations in the beginning of the workout, after some kind of movement preparation warm-up, it would allow you to develop that strength base. As you improve your strength base, what you can do for weights of 3, 4, 5 reps, all of a sudden, now your sets of 8 to 12, those weights can go up as well. And that's going to get you more muscle damage because the weight load that you're moving for the typical time under tension that's related to body building or muscle building is now going to be higher. So your overall volume of workload is going to increase because you are now stronger. So rather than being in the gym for 1.5 hours, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and having to do 40,000 exercises with 40,000 sets, you can just be stronger. You can move more weight with the same number of sets that you currently do now. That'll increase your poundage, your total volume, and that will increase the muscle stress in your body and therefore create more muscle shaping and more muscle growth. So this is extremely important for aesthetic athletes. You do need to use some form of heavy squats. It will help build that strength base, and then everything else you do will be improved because of the strength that you now can carry into those movements. So if you've been trying to build muscle, and it seems like you've hit a plateau, this can be something that, if you're not already trying, can be something that kind of pushes you to that next level, that gets you through that plateau. By using heavy squats, so again, you do movement preparation, make sure you're warmed up and you can move correctly. You do heavy squats, then you would get into your larger, heavier kind of accessory movements like leg press, hack squat, and then you would do some isolation stuff if you wanted to finish out with that stuff, like leg extension, leg curl, any kind of walking lunges, machine adductor, abductor, things like that. So this would be a good thing to try, and I do encourage you to try because I know it works. I've seen it work. And if you need this written down, you can always email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'll send you the outline for the podcast. That way you can have those numbers and kind of progressions written down, and you can use them yourself. Now, for strength athletes, if you're still listening to this, hopefully you're still listening in, your balance is going to be more difficult in the sense that you do need technique development. So when we think about the three ways in which we can get stronger, we can improve our technique, we can increase our physical strength development, like muscle mass and muscle usage. So for example, just being stronger with our muscles. And also we can improve our mindset, meaning a lot of times the reason why people can't go heavier is because they just don't believe themselves to be capable of it, and or they can't control their kind of excitatory phases, so they get too amped up and their form and technique goes out the window and they lift like crap, and or they get hurt, or people can't get amped up enough, so they kind of doubt their abilities, and therefore before they even start the set they've already lost the war against the heavy weight. So those are three ways that we know we can get stronger. It's by improving technique, physical development, and mental strength. So if I'm wanting to improve technique and physical development, I have to do my competition style lift often enough that my technique can build if I'm a beginner, and or at least maintain and slowly build if I'm an intermediate or advanced lifter. So I work with powerlifters who have state records, top five nationals, they have elite totals, so they are very advanced, and even at that stage, we're always still working towards improving our technique. However, it's very small refinements compared to somebody who's a beginner in powerlifting. So what we want to do, as we said, was have enough of the competition style lift in our workouts. Then we get to work on the technique, we get to refine that technique. But we also want to include other variations to allow for more complete development. When you think about your competition lift, there will be a muscle or a certain, like a set of muscles, a couple of them, that are going to hold that lift back. So for example, in squats, you might have really strong quads, really strong lower back. But when you get to your really heavy weights, you do see that forward movement of the bar path, to where as you go down on the squat, the bar drifts forward over your toes. You're never, ever, ever going to lift your one rep best max with that bar path, ever, because it overemphasizes the quads and low back and de-emphasizes the hamstrings and glutes. To whereas if you could develop all four of those muscles to be of equal strength and have a straight up and down pathway, you're going to be a lot stronger. So four muscles at their peak strength is going to be stronger than two sets of muscles at their peak strength. So what we can do, if we're looking at beginners, what is a way that we can incorporate enough competition style practice, but still get the variations in that we want to develop those weaknesses? So what you can do is you can start with competition warm-up with a barbell, and you would go through all your warm-up sets, and you would actually work up to 1 to 3 top sets. It depends on the person, depends on the emphasis of that cycle that you're in, and there's a lot of variations from there. But they might even just work up to what's called a conservative max. It doesn't have to be a 1 rep max, it can be a 2 rep max, 3 rep max, 5 rep max, whatever. But they would warm up, which is going to give them, you know, 5, 6, 7 sets of practice. They would then do 1 to 3 top sets of effort. So maybe they work up to a really heavy double, and that's the kind of peak effort of that workout for the competition squat. Or they might do 3 sets of 3, something like that. But the idea is they get a lot of practice by warming up with their competition style lift. They then do 1 to 3 top sets of that competition style lift, but then using the same bar, you can switch to different variations. So if you have a barbell, you can switch from, say, low bar to high bar and do extra working sets. Maybe you do 3 to 5 sets of 3 to 5 reps. And rep range and stuff kind of depends on the person, so I'm going to leave that vague. But the idea is that I warm up doing my competition lift. I do 1 to 3 top sets of my competition lift. But then since I already have the bar in place, I'm just going to use the bar and do a different variation for some extra work. So like I said, you can do high bar squats. If that's different than your typical competition lift, you can do front squats. You can do Bulgarian split squats. You can even do reverse lunges. You can do back loaded, like the bar across your back like you would for squats, reverse lunges. You can even do front rack reverse lunges. So I use this all the time for clients' programming because it helps them get through a lot more workload faster. Because once they already have the equipment and everything set up, they're already warmed up, they might as well just stay there and get some extra work in. So you can warm up with your competition lift. You can do 1 to 3 top sets. You can then decrease some weight load, switch to front squats, and work your quad in your kind of thoracic positioning. And that's a great emphasis. You can do Bulgarian split squats if you want to work on hamstrings and glutes and like hip strength. Reverse lunges is really good for hip strength. So if you notice in your squat you have a hip shift, doing reverse lunges will help get rid of that. But that is one of the ways that beginners can incorporate kind of more variations into their workout rather than just using the competition lift over and over and over. And unfortunately, they might be learning technique, however, it's the wrong technique. They're learning technique that just reinforces their strongest muscles taking over rather than actually developing an equal blended strength of the muscles. How would intermediates handle this? Well, they can alternate cycles of competition lift and other variations. So they don't necessarily need to do the competition lift every single workout. So maybe for 4 weeks they would do paused competition style squats. The pause just helps them work on their strength in the hole, quote unquote, at the bottom of the squat. They can work on hip shift, they can work on bar path, making sure the bar path is going straight up and down. They're keeping their pressure on their heels as they come down rather than drifting out forward into their toes. So that would be 4 weeks to practice that. They then could spend 4 weeks doing safety squat bar, good mornings, and reverse lunges. That would be awesome for building kind of upper back postural strength as well as hip strength. So those tend to be two areas that most people are going to be weak in that cause them to fall forward in their squat. So they could do 4 weeks where they progress and do kind of a 4 week progressive overload of safety squat bar, good mornings, and reverse lunges. Then for the next 4 weeks, they would go back to regular competition squats, but maybe sets of anywhere from 2 to 5 reps, to where it's not true max effort yet, but it's still really freaking heavy. It builds their bracing ability. It builds their ability to feel that weight on them so they can get used to heavier weight loads. And it also helps them to see if they can reinforce the cueing they learned in the first 2 cycles. Then the 4th cycle, they maybe do camber bar squats, which works their hamstrings and glutes. And a camber bar is a great variation for feeling heel pressure on the descent of your squat. So that would be a good one to mix in. And then the final 4 week block, you would do regular competition singles. So right there is a 20 week circuit that you could go through that would help you redefine, redefine your squat path and actually refine it and make it better. It by throwing in variations, this helps you build up more kind of nitty-gritty small areas of strength in all of the muscles, and especially around your hips, which helps protect you against injury. Also, when you build up the musculature around the joints more completely, meaning you target really every single muscle, that's going to eliminate a lot of like aches and strains and pains that you have around those joints. So too often, you'll see this all the time, is when somebody repeats a competition style squat with knee wraps, they'll talk about their knees hurting when they come out of the wraps. And it's because they use the wraps so much, they never actually develop the musculature right by their knee in their quadriceps. So they tend to have very little muscle right at the top of their knee, right where their quads connect into their knee. And they'll talk about having patellotendinitis, they'll talk about having quad pain. And it's just because they're underdeveloped quads, because they were relying too often on the wraps. So getting out of a single style of squat can ensure that you don't develop those small weaknesses related to that variation, and then over time they can become acute injuries which lead to big injuries. So it's very important not only for true best strength development, but also injury prevention. How would an advanced athlete handle this? Well, after practicing the wide range of variations that you would practice by being a beginner and an intermediate, you would then start to find the specific variations that worked best for you. And this would be somebody who has been lifting for 5+ years, where they have done every variation of safety squat bar or camber squat. You have duffalo bars that you can do, like low handle, high handle. You can do front squats. You can do Bulgarian split squats, reverse lunges, all these things. You want to be able to be well-versed in all of these variations to then find, hey, every time this one variation goes up about 20 pounds, I know I'm getting a 10-pound PR on my back squat, on my competition squat. So when you start to find those specific ones that work best for you, they would then only start to use those as a regular variation kind of change. But that takes, like I said, years and years and years and years to become advanced. Years and years and years. Probably 5 years is actually way too low of an estimate, but very rarely does anybody even wait 5 years to call themselves advanced. So there is probably a lengthy discussion, hopefully still interesting, of how you could use squat variations to improve aesthetic-based training, but also strength-based training. This does have, the podcast did have some very specifics in terms of like variations of squats and sets and reps. So again, if you'd like the outline for this, so that way you could see it as well as hearing it, just shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com and I'll send you the outline. I truly hope that podcasts like this that are a little more detailed are beneficial for the listeners. I know that too often podcasts can be focused too much on beginners, so it is fun to get some information out there for the intermediate and the advanced, and it's also fun for the beginners to see how much detail there really is when you get into the kind of nitty-gritty parts of these processes. So one of my favorite quotes is, you don't know what you don't know until you know that you don't know it. So I'll say that again, because it's a but you don't know what you don't know until you know that you don't know it. And what's great about that quote is, once you think you figured out everything, it's very beneficial to then find out what yet you don't know. Because if there's more to know, there's more room for you to improve, there's more just growth possible. So it's exciting to find out what you don't know, because that means you can continue to improve. So hopefully this podcast was helpful. I encourage everyone to use this information, and I know it'll absolutely help you. I promise, promise, promise it will. Like I said, I've been doing this for 18 years as a personal trainer, worked with well over 2,000 people, taught the university level, taught over 500 students. I've seen this stuff work every single time. So for powerlifters who are just too exclusive to their competition style squat, and maybe you do one variation every once in a while, but it's always the same damn bar. So you do competition style squat, or every once in a while you throw in the safety squat bar. Be more creative, use more stuff, use more variations. There's a lot more things out there. For the aesthetic athletes, don't think that squats are going to kind of like thicken your waist. They're not going to cause you to get injured. You just have to do them intelligently, and you can stay safe. But you need to build a bigger strength base. What you're moving for sets of 10 needs to get heavier over time. The only way it will is if you come down in reps and build your base of strength. If you always do sets of 10, it will not progress very quickly. If you take the time every once in a while to build your base and then come back up to the sets of 10s, you'll notice that that progression happens faster, and your aesthetic development progression will happen faster as well. So hopefully I made a strong enough case that you'll try this stuff out. If again, if you need the outline, just email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. We also do have programming options and online client options at our website, which is www.brutalirongym.com. So we have monthly programming you can use that incorporates these kind of features and kind of concepts into the programs already, so that way we know we're taking care of you. And if you're going to follow kind of like a mass program, meaning a program written for kind of everybody aiming for this goal, I want you to follow a good one. which is why I write them. So there's too many people selling ones that are junk, so I wanted to make sure I wrote some good ones. So if you want that option, you can be taken care of and be taught things in the program. So there's a learning lesson in every single month. There's a new lesson, and we try to build just kind of your knowledge over time to improve your understanding of training. So if you're going to do mass programming, do it the right way. You can check that out at our website at www.brutalirongym.com. And then also we do have online client options. We have different degrees of support, whether you want just weekly check-ins, whether you want virtual check-ins, whether you want help with training, nutrition, anything at all. My goal, or our hope, is that if you are passionate about this and you want to make progress, we want to take care of you, keep you safe, and make sure you make the best progress possible. So that's my hope. If you want any of that information, again, our website is brutalirongym.com. And cool, please check us out. So thank you for listening to the podcast. If you think this podcast specifically, or our podcast in general, would be helpful to anyone you know, please share it with them. We want the people we love to have the best information available to them so they can live their healthiest and happiest lives. So please share the podcast. You can share it on social media. You can share it in email, text message, conversation, however you want. But the more good, high-quality information we get into people's lives, the better. Also, if you do like this type of information, you can always find more from us on our social media channels, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd always love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.